Hello and good morning. It is March 22nd at 11:30 a.m. I am your host, Deshaun Kavanaugh, and you are listening to Around the Scenes, the online talk show where we talk to everybody in the film and television industry, from craft services to executive producers. Today in the studio, I have Dana Abraham, a Canadian actor, model, and dancer. How are you doing today, Dana?
Man, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you for being here. Also, I have with me Brandon Thomas, an actor, writer, director, and producer from California. How are you doing, Brandon?
I'm doing good, man. How about you?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for being here with us today, guys.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you in the studio. So, is it correct to say, Dana, that we might have some Canadian listeners today?
Absolutely. The Canadians are proud supporters of the product abroad, so they're definitely tuning in right now.
All right. Shout out to Canada, okay? I'm from Minnesota, which is really close to Canada, so we're like
direct neighbors.
Yeah, we're one and the same. Two peas in a pod. All right. So let's jump right into this then. Dana, could you tell us a little bit of background, how it is growing up in Canada?
Man, look, it's real cold.
It's cold, yeah.
No, but you know what? It's fabulous. I actually immigrated there when I was 7 years old, so 97. Mm-hmm. I'm a very proud Canadian. I've gotten the opportunity to box on the national team and play sports on a national level, and it was fabulous growing up. I believe the culture and the diversity that Canada has is just fabulous, and to grow up in such a great atmosphere, a very supporting and unique country, is just, it's incredible.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Could you explain to me and the viewers how the film and television industry is different in Canada than it is here in America?
You know, since I've gotten into it, it's actually been relatively close.
Similar.
But, yeah, absolutely. But in variations, you know, like it's LA. And mm-hmm. In Canada, we don't have the expansion that, you know, I've witnessed here in California and Los Angeles itself. With that being said, we are growing, and it's growing at a grand pace. And Toronto is just the great market right now, and everybody's filming in Toronto. So we're trying to keep up, you know, we're trying to keep up with LA and the American film industry.
Right, right. And you drove here, right?
Yes, sir.
How was that drive?
3,100 miles in 42 hours, man.
Wow.
It was long. But you know what? I got through 9 states in a day and a half. My back was real swollen. I stunk because I didn't shower at all, you know, just straight driving. But you know what? It was cool. It was cool to see all the different states and the different environments and speak to a couple of people on the way here. It was a really cool experience, and I enjoyed that. That's something I checked off the bucket list.
Right on. Yeah, that's something not many people can do, not drive for that long. And Brandon, could you tell me how growing up in L.A. was?
Yeah.
Or in California?
I'm actually from 40 miles inward. So
okay.
I'm from Rancho Cucamonga, so I didn't have to drive.
The
my...
what?
Rancho Cucamonga.
Rancho Cucamonga. It
is
a real place. We are on the rise. We got a bunch of like musical acts that are like randomly coming out of like the IE right now. So it's a good
like
time
Drake?
To be from the IE. Well, Hit Boy. You know.
Oh, okay.
He's a thing.
Oh, is it?
But yeah, it's been cool. I commend people that come from Minnesota, that
right.
come from Canada. The Canada people, they're all right.
Yeah,
but,
they're all right.
You know, I commend them because I had this conversation the other day. I was like, if L.A. was further, would I be able to commit to the dream of, like, you know, going to L.A., packing up everything? So I'm really grateful because I don't know if I could. So
yeah.
I'm grateful that I'm just from, you know, an hour down the freeway.
Right. And so when was it that you moved from Cucamonga to closer to the cities here?
Well, I've wanted to act for a while now. I actually took a traditional route. I went to college, and I realized that I was kind of wasting my time. So I did 6 years in Orange County, where I went to Cal State Fullerton.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been in L.A. for the past 3 years. So,
okay,
yeah, it's been pretty legit.
Okay, okay. Back to Dana. Could you tell us what you've been up to since coming here?
Oh, man, it's been a great process since I've been here. The first thing that I did was start classes at Spitzer and Sturgis Studio. Shout out to that family. I specifically actually came here just to be at that studio because
I
found Spitzer on YouTube after
mm-hmm.
having read Lee Strasberg. And everybody hears me rant about this story, but I specifically came here for them. And once having gotten here, I've actually signed with an agency, and I've done two films, one obviously with my co-star right here sitting
yeah.
across from me right here.
Awesome.
That's right.
Yeah,
and,
no publicity for me.
And I've also done a music video and auditioned for a couple major projects, and that's, you know, given me insight into the industry further. So it's been a great process in such a short period of time.
Yeah, right on, right on. And Brandon, what's your training been like here in LA? I don't know if you trained in Cucamonga.
Oh yeah, no, I didn't do any training. I actually was, in quotes, discovered. You know, I guess however you get into the industry. I was actually, when I was in Rancho, and I moved to Orange County, where I was commuting from Orange County to LA for auditions. I was signed to an agency, like right out of high school. And I've been working, I've been actually where I met Dana at Spies or Sturges.
Oh, right on.
And I've been there for the past 2 years, and it's a freaking amazing studio. And I think what really makes it outstanding is it's the community.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's right.
The community, especially in a business where if you think about it the wrong way, you feel like you're up against everybody in opposition to me and Dana. Can be great friends and realize that we're never going to go out for the same roles. And even if we were going out for the same roles, what's his is his and what's mine is mine.
There's a role for everybody.
And yeah, just the community there is off the chain. And it's really, it's that X factor in a studio that you get the work, you know what I mean? You're learning. Mm-hmm. And then you also have, you know, a bunch of new friends, a separate set of friends to really, you know, hang out with.
Right. Where is that located too? If any listeners want to check it out, or do they have a website?
SpicerSturges.com, 1728 South La Cienega. I live there.
Oh, wow.
Literally,
yeah,
you got to memorize
it.
Every day.
You got to put in that 10,000 hours. You got to train like
Malcolm
Michael
Gladwell,
Jordan.
Man.
Right on.
Outliers.
Okay. So what kind of jobs, Dana, you answered this question, but what kind of jobs have you been working on, Brandon?
Oh, well, I actually just, I was in a situation where I was trying to figure it out, I think as most aspiring actors are, and I wrote a film myself. I said, well, I can wait for somebody to find me somewhere in the mall, or I can just kind of try to make this thing happen. So I actually wrote a film. It's called All Part of the Game. It'll be out in, it's looking like April.
Okay.
You know, post-production is always something, so you can you can feel it's going to come out one way. And then, so I'm going to say April right now. We're on Instagram at All Part of the Game, where you can find all the updates, and we'll have a certain date. But it's gonna be a good one. We got a little bit of buzz. I got a couple friends involved, and we're writing part two now. So as soon as part one drops, we're gonna be ready for some more fun.
Right on, right on. You didn't wait for anybody. You started writing yourself.
Exactly.
Could you explain to us a little bit about the process of writing? Like, how was that for a first time writer? Or
I'm gonna be honest with you. This was my first script I ever wrote, and what happened was I'm a story writer, and I was like, you know, naturally I can write stories, and I just said I'm gonna try to write a script, and I just sat down and I started writing, and what I did was I gave it to people that were script writers, you know, and they were able to kind of manipulate it into, okay, well, this, you know, this is right. We get the content, so now let's make it into a script. And, you know, we worked for a couple months at it, and then we had, you know, 22 pages. And then from there, I was, you know, I was like, well, I guess we'll just put it on film and see what happens.
Right on, right on. Yeah, the process from it being just a story in your head to becoming a script
it's huge, amazing. Huge. It's so empowering.
It's yeah.
So empowering.
That's awesome, you guys. Okay, so you can both answer this individually, but what are some of your most interesting roles that you've played or looked at or had parts offered to you?
For me, it was definitely the most latest one that I did. I mean, I always try to avoid playing such a dark role just because I just felt that I didn't want to, you know, chase after something that I maybe might not be able to do. But it was very difficult, a non-speaking role with so much vibrance and emotions, and to portray that without having a single line to do that. I think that elevated my skill set further. And I mean, like, throughout the whole process of this role, and even just like writing my own scripts and stuff, I've had Brandon along the process, and I've been blessed to have a lot of great people that I've met, and that's what he, you know, talked about earlier, the Spicer family. And I spoke to him about the roles, and he just said, you know, trust yourself, know you're enough. And he texted me that while I was on set. And, you know, I think that's what helps you push forward when you know that it's going to be really difficult, but you just find a way to make it work, you know? Then you got co-stars and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right on. You did a terrific job, by the way.
Thanks,
man.
Thanks, bro. I appreciate that.
I remember talking to you, and you say most times you don't try to do a stereotypical Indian role.
I tried to. You know what? I definitely tried to avoid it. And especially one with, you know, such a huge background right now, specifically, even today, you know, pray for Brussels and whatnot. ISIS, you know, like a terrorist role. But having that character arc of somebody who is a terrorist and, you know, finds life within himself to save a life, I just had to go for it. You know, I stopped trying to say, you know what, I don't want to get typecasted as that brown guy who plays a brown role. But you know what, at the end of the day, it's just being able to do diversity and play the role with confidence and be able to achieve what you want, which is to be compelling. And that's what we do as actors, to be compelling and move people, you know. So that's what I tried to go for. I said, you know what? Who cares about the typecast? Let's just go for it. Play
and,
it right.
And what is your ethnic background, by the way?
Yeah, so I'm half Indian and half English, so mix a little bit of both.
Okay, okay. Right on, right on. How about you, Brandon?
I think the most interesting role I've played is I did a commercial with Chris Paul for the State Farm series that they had going on. They still have going on. And we played, like, they took us back in time, and we played basketball players from, like, 1930 or something like that. And it was, like, the first assist ever. So it was, like, really cool to see him, like, set the set to, like, you know, 1930s and literally everything. They tried to make it so authentic, of course, because they had an amazing budget. Right. And we were shooting on, you know, the net was made out of, like, fishing wire, and it was just ridiculous. We were playing in chucks and... Yeah, it was nuts.
That's so awesome. That's so awesome. I know you guys both study at the same school, so it might be similar, but could you individually explain your artistic process when you're getting into the head of a character?
It actually might be very similar, but definitely, you know, Aaron and Shannon, they both preach about developing the character, learning about the character, because once you find the character, you find his pain, which leads you to your objectives and your obstacles. And so for me, originally, because I was very Meisner trained in Toronto, so it might be, you know, different. So I'll go about that. Predominantly, what I worked on was not so much the character, but developing the little crumbs within the script and trying to find clues as to what propels me into the action, right? So as I've learned and as I've progressed as an actor, I find developing a character is just finding all the little finer details, the refined details that most people don't even look at, like the likes and dislikes. Does he like cookies? Does he like, you know, candy? Like, just because little details about us as human beings is what makes us behave certain ways, say certain things, speak to certain people the way we do, you know, those little trigger things that we makes us, you know, somebody says something, we like it or don't like it. So it's all those little details. So finding those little details in a character is what helps me develop a character. And then from that, I take it forward into how would he react in this situation? Why does he say certain things the way he says, or why are people saying that about him? Or, you know, if it's a her or whatever, you know, I'll play that too.
Right.
But yeah, just like, you know, finding the little details about my guy.
Yeah, I remember from being on set with you recently, you even had how many times that your character has had sex in his life. That's such fine detail.
Absolutely. And you know what? That actually is something that Shan and Sturges and Aaron Spizer preach about, because we got to know those details, right? Because those details is what's going to bring out the behavior in us. And that's, they preach about the behavior. And we got to know that. You know, I mean, you know, I know, he knows. Everybody that's listening to us know how many times they have. And if they don't, well, they got to get a notepad or calm down, you know. But, you know, like, we got to know those details, because that's what makes life. And that's what we're doing as actors, to live truthfully in the imaginary world. We got to create life.
Yeah, I think that's fantastic. And how about you, Brandon? What's your process in getting into the head of your character?
I think Dana kind of rode that bull. But But yeah, no, I totally agree. And I think it's about finding those fine details. I believe Aaron calls it the minutia of the character.
The finer details, the minimals.
That little stuff. And I think it's about, also, I had an acting coach. His name was Steve Lowe back in the day. What's up, Steve? You know, we did this exercise where we were talking about, he's talking about Tarzan, and he made us all stand up, and he was like, okay, well, I want you guys all to be Tarzan. And we're like, okay. And so we're like standing there, everybody's doing like their,
everybody
just kind of jumps to it. And so he's like, okay, well, you're just a mountain man. Okay. You're just some guy from the jungle. You're just some guy from the jungle. We couldn't figure it out. And so we're just kind of standing there, and then, like, so he goes up, and we kind of watch him, and he's like, I love Jane. And he didn't say he was Tarzan, but everybody knew he was Tarzan.
Right.
Because it was that thing that made him Tarzan, in opposition to anybody.
Not just some man in the jungle. Right.
Exactly. Anybody can put on a loincloth and, you know, grow some hair and be in quote. You know what I mean? And
right.
That's just, I'm Rick and I just live in the woods.
Yeah.
So it's about finding those things that make you, you know what I mean? That make you undeniable.
Right. Right.
And, you know, just it's a mixture of things. And I think it's not exactly one way. And I think what's really
Absolutely.
Cool is the tips that I've learned here and the tips I've learned there. And I spend countless hours, you know, on YouTube with the Hollywood Reporter, all the round tables, picking up what Will Smith is doing, what Denzel is doing,
right.
You know, Del Toro. You're like, wow, I didn't know me and Mark Ruffalo were so cool. And, you know, he's never heard of me, but we're
right.
best friends, whether he knows it or not.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You know, I mean, it's about finding all these things and really finding. And for me personally, I enjoy people that are successful and kind of finding what they do and putting it with the things that I've learned and just kind of, you know, piecing it up. Because I think if it was a formula that 1 + 1 = 2, then everybody would be amazing actors.
Right. And exactly.
Sadly,
Absolutely.
It's not the case.
Nope. Yeah. Definitely not.
Definitely not. Right on. Okay. So as an actor, what are some of the challenges you face, maybe in your personal life or while you're on set, or what are some challenges you face?
Oh, man, there's so many that I don't even know where to begin. But I think one of the greatest challenges that I'm facing right now is to really hone in consistent technique. And, like, I spoke to Brandon about that, and even you, like, on set. Like, to really be present at all times, you know, and that's the most beautiful part about, it's not theater, so, you know, being in film and television, it's the most beautiful part is that there's so many takes, but I think I really, you know, that's something that I'm really working towards, is being consistent, and because I strive for the best that I can be every single time, and I don't just say that as a cliche, but I just mean, like, if you're going to do it, you have to do it for the right reasons, and it's not for anything other than the fact that, again, I want to be compelling, so I feel that every single take has to be my best one. Like I said on set, if you ask me, should we do another take, I'm going to say yes every single time because I feel I can do better every single time, you know? So for me, it's just being consistently brilliant. That's my biggest problem. And I guess I'm my worst enemy, so I guess I sometimes get in my way. And again, back to Brandon, tells me to remember I'm enough, you know? So I got to get out of my head once in a while and just work.
Right on, yeah.
Right.
How about you, Brandon?
Challenges. I think I got three challenges. I'm trying to remember. I'm like, that's a good one.
He has a list.
Yeah. I think the first thing is understanding that, like, the greatest people didn't become the greatest people in a year. You know what I mean? And I think a bunch of people get into classes and they're like, okay, well, I've done my year. I'm ready for my awards. And it's like, no. You know what I mean? Like, these people didn't become in any aspect, in any realm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Michael Jordan didn't become Michael Jordan in a year.
I just read something yesterday. Somebody told Oprah Winfrey that she wasn't fit for television.
Wow.
As she was being a news anchor, and they fired her.
Right.
And, well, Oprah Winfrey's obviously fit for television now. Right. She's got her own network.
So right. Well, I mean,
amazing.
Exactly. She went on, but she might not have been ready at that time.
Exactly.
She had to put in, you know, some more time, and now you better go watch the channel.
Exactly.
Respect that fire that she's got. I think that kind of giving it the time, being patient, I think, like, you know, like I told Dana when I knew that, you know, he was going to be on set, I was like, yo, you know, and, you know, we were having dialogues, and I think as actors, it's really good to have friends in the industry that understand what exactly you're doing. So when you say something industry-related, they're not like, oh, yeah, you know, go play a character. You know what I mean? Like, they know what you mean, and they can speak to you.
Some will still say that.
They can speak to you in the language, you know, and I think it's about really believing in yourself. And not just saying it or writing it down, but really, like, believing in yourself and really trusting that, like, your instrument is enough and that what you do is the best that you can do. And, you know, just kind of letting that be. And I think, and the last thing I think is finding the balance of being an artist. And I think artists requires a lot of sacrifice and a lot of struggle. You know what I mean? Because in most cases, you can't work a full-time job. You know what I mean? If you want to audition, you can't, you know, there's a bunch of things that you can't do in quotes that would get you a normal life and would get you XYZ. And as you look around you and everybody has XYZ and, right. you know, everybody is getting married and having kids. They just bought a house and a car. And they're putting up the white fence around it tomorrow. And you're right. Like, I got an audition.
Yeah.
I might, you know what I mean? Like,
I'm eating ramen noodles for dinner tonight.
Exactly. I might make money today.
Yeah.
You know what I
definitely
mean?
A problem.
And then people are like, oh, so what's next? And you're like, well, as soon as I know, I'll let you know. So I think putting that, I would say putting that aside and really understanding that this is, you know what I mean? It's really got to be a love there or else you won't be able to withstand that. So I think those are definitely the challenges, all overcomable, but, you know, just something that'll press your mind for sure until you get to where you want to go.
Right on. Yeah. Okay, going right along with that, who are some of the people who motivate you most?
I'm going to let him start
yeah,
first.
Yeah, go ahead, Brandon.
Who are some of the people that motivate me most?
It could be a famous person. It could be your little sister, anything.
Well, I think my family. They're a big reason as to why I do this. And I think, so they definitely motivate me. Mm-hmm. And I want to show them. More so like, yo, like you can do kind of whatever you put your mind to. Mm-hmm. And I was really blessed to have a mother who didn't, she's a beast with it. So she does all kinds of things. But when I grew up, she was a hairstylist. Mm-hmm. And I think it was so imperative to see her not work a regular job to let me know mentally that it wasn't in the household that you work from 9 to 5 and then you do. So subconsciously, I think it was such a master design for me to grow up and see that, to see like you can go and make money on your own. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can do what your heart desires you to do. So, you know, the way it was set up, I'm going to say God is good. And he kind of dropped that on me, you know, early on that I wasn't exposed to that type of lifestyle. So my family, for sure. I have a close group of friends that we call ourselves the team. And, you know, these are people that have rocked with me for a long time. And they've been with me in the highest days when I was, you know, on TV doing this and that, mm-hmm. you know, celebrating. And when I was down, you know, they sent me a text message saying that, you know, I'm going to be back up.
Mm-hmm.
My acting family, my acting friends, where we can sit and, you know, after I put up a scene in class, they'll come talk to me like, yo, this was good, but you know, what about this? Or like, did you think about this? Or like people I can send scripts to. Mm-hmm. It's one thing to say like, I'm not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Not at all. And I also shout out to my goon, my homie, Shannon Sturges, because we hit it off the bat when I came to the studio, and she's really been there for me, and she's really helped me to understand that, like, I'm good enough, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of those things where you see these people and they're making this money and you're like, oh my God. And they're doing they're working on these amazing projects and you're just like, wow, if I could get into this project,
it'd be amazing.
I could, oh my God.
Right.
You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
So, and she just kind of pulled me to the side a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Brandon, you're doing good. Like, you know, you're on that level. You're capable of that.
Sometimes it just takes somebody saying that to
sometimes
you.
Sometimes you can feel it, but again, you got to really feel it. And to hear it, it's just like, okay.
Right.
So, you know, it's a group of people. It takes a village to
yeah.
raise a child. So everybody, you know what I mean? Everybody. There's a ton
okay.
of people.
Yeah, and we are running low on time, Dana, so I'm going to skip this question for
yep.
you. But there's one thing I want to get out of both of you guys. If you could give any advice to a young aspiring actor or somebody coming into the industry, what would that be?
Oh, man. You know, I contemplated almost not coming to L.A. About a week into the drive, I decided, mm-hmm. Oh, man, maybe I shouldn't do it. Maybe financially I'm not there. Like, I was making up a whole host of excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually watched something, and I mean, I tell you a lot about my books that I've read, and, like, they inspire me as well, The Alchemist, you know. But I watched this video, and it was just kind of, like, coincidental, and it's Steve Harvey, and he talks about jumping. He says, you can never fall, and you can never get hurt, and you can never fail if you never take that initial jump.
Right.
And so I would just say to anybody that's coming up, man, take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
Just take the risk, because at the end of the day, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, but you tried it.
Exactly.
And you are one other person
completely.
In a whole host of a world that didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you could say you did it. You know what I mean? And if it doesn't
right
work
on.
Out, well, dang, it's okay. You're okay. You're going to be fine.
Right.
Just jump.
Completely.
Just jump. Right on. Just jump. That's just the way jump. It should be. Just jump. You know, you got to jump in life. And I think it's very important. It's Mario Lawson, the program director. Stepping in the
Welcome.
Welcome, Doc. We've been looking for you.
Yeah. You know, sometimes I got to stay in and out. You got stuff to do in here. You know?
Yeah. The busy man.
Setting up shop. It's fun. You know, it's not in a busy in a bad way. You know, sometimes we get busy and we're just busy.
Absolutely.
And like you were saying, people get out there and they just get busy doing stuff just to keep busy instead of busy doing stuff that they'd like to
love
make.
To do.
Yeah. Right. And
finding your passion.
If you find your passion, get out there and your passion and jump into it, then what you do is you find that you can ask and get anything.
Absolutely. You know? The universe will listen to you.
So, and I'm actually bringing somebody else into this conversation. Olivia Cervantes. How you
Hi.
Doing?
Hey.
What's up, Olivia?
Hey, Olivia.
How you doing?
Yeah. So I know Deshaun is getting out the door sometime soon, real quick. So you guys got some links or something that you can?
Yeah.
I'm on Instagram, BTISME. That's BT is me. You can follow that through everything, Snapchat, BT is me 11, all part of the game, my film that's coming out. I'm all over the place.
And for me, I got my website, www.dana-abraham.com, or you can go on my Instagram, dana.abraham. And shout out to my management team, empiremgmt.ca.
Thank you so much for being here with us today, guys.
No problem, guys. And anybody listening, don't give up on the dream is my piece.
Ever.
Just don't quit it.
Woo! Yeah, don't give up on the dream.
That's
Go ahead
right.
and close it out for us, Deshaun.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have come to the sad part of our show where we must say goodbye. But we will be back at the same place at the same time next week. Stay tuned for more KPC Radio at kpcradio.com.